Good evening.
Good evening.
Once upon a time, there were several friends who set out on a journey together. And they were very good friends for a long time, and so they had a lot to talk about. So they chatted and they talked continuously on their walk, and they were very, very excited to be with each other. They had stories to tell, and they had ideas and feelings to share with each other. And each morning, when they awoke, they immediately started chatting with each other. They chatted before breakfast, and they chatted during breakfast. And after breakfast, they cleaned up the camp, they got packed up, and they took off, and they continued chatting. During the day, while they were hiking and walking, they didn't stop. They didn't stop talking. They didn't stop chatting. And when they came to a spot to camp for the night, and they set up the camp, the chatting continued. And the talking continued right up until the time that they put out their lanterns. So all day long, their minds had no room except for words. And after several days of hiking and chatting in this way, they stopped, and for the first time, they looked around and asked, "Where are we?" For the first time, everyone was silent. And this silence lasted for many minutes, because it was a question no one could answer. And finally, somebody said, "I don't know." And another person said, "I think we're lost." And they all agreed, because nothing around them seemed familiar. Everything was foreign. They became confused, and they became frightened. They decided that it was very necessary. Now was the time to return home. They did not know the way home. They did not have a direct route to follow to get back home. So they turned around and changed their direction, and they started to walk in silence. And this time, they paid attention. They watched the landscape. They looked for signs and clues that would show them the way back. They saw deer that they had not seen before. They saw birds, and they saw waterfalls. They saw fields of flowers, and they saw insects. They saw the dawn, and they saw the sunset. And they saw the moon at night. They felt the rain during the day and the warmth of the sun. These are things they had not noticed before. After a while, they started talking again, but this time in very thoughtful, unexcited ways. Ways that allowed their minds to remain quiet. And so their minds became receptive to the environment. When their talking started to become excited, they reminded themselves to become quiet. And after several days of walking in silence, the sounds and the smells started to feel familiar. And the landscape became familiar. And their confidence returned. Has anyone ever heard of the Yiddish word kibbutz? Ever hear of kibbutz? A few of you have heard it, kibbutz. It comes from the German, and it means spectator at a card game. And what it means, its practical meaning is to talk and to socialize aimlessly. As in the expression, to sit around and kibbutz. So, kibbutz and to chit-chat without any particular purpose is very useful. It's actually very necessary because it helps to create familiarity and trust and affection. Chatting in this way and kibbutzing in this way is part of community life and it's part of friendship. And it does help maintain a social relationships, cohesive social relationships, helps create community. But kibbutzing can become addictive and it can become distracting. And if it becomes a habit, it can cause us to forget how to pay attention. So that the mind and the senses just wander aimlessly. And kibbutzing too much in this way, we can no longer be intimately involved in our activity. We can no longer feel our experience, and we can no longer observe things. When we go on a hike, we like to go on hikes because it brings us close to nature. It's as close as we can come to the natural world so that we can experience reality of things as they are. Experience things without the distractions of a made-up world. Allowing ourselves to get close to the natural world is a gift that we give ourselves. Just like Zazen, a gift we give ourselves. And to experience the natural world, we must become intimate with it and we must communicate with it. But this communication is not the usual kind of communication. The usual communication uses the thinking mind and words and concepts. In the usual way we communicate with each other, we select our words carefully and we choose our ideas. We sort them out. And this is necessary in our everyday life, but when we use the mind this way, we become separate from the natural world, when we pick and choose what we will say and what we will think. when we go on a journey of kibitzing, we are putting emphasis only on verbal communication, and we are shutting out the natural world and the world that's around, immediately around us. We shouldn't go too far on that kind of journey. We may speak of the world around us, we may use that expression, the world around us, but this is not a separate world outside us. It is us. The world around us is us. It is who we are in reality. When we are not limited by concepts of body and mind, but we cannot appreciate our limitless self if our mind is continuously kibitzing. So the story of Buddha's enlightenment describes his many years of trying various yogic practices and various ascetic practices, and it's said that he studied with the best known teachers of his day, the best. And so he became very adept at yoga, and he could attain trance-like states. He could easily attain trance-like states where he became free of anxieties and desires. But when his yoga was over, his anxieties returned. And he wondered about that. And he discovered that the so-called freedom that he attained during his yogic practice was simply a mental state, a state that was made up in his own mind. So as the story goes, after a while, he gave them up. He gave up all the various practices that he had learned, and he gave up being with these various teachers that had taught him for so many years. He came to realize that enlightenment was inherent in himself, within his own humanity, and that his enlightenment was not some state of mind artificially created. And so he began to pay careful attention to his behavior, to the coming and to the going of his emotions, and to the way that his senses reacted with the world. He paid attention to his physical activities, his sitting, his walking, his eating, and he watched ideas as they came and went through his mind. Most importantly, the Buddha watched the stream of desires and irritations and emotions that flowed through his mind, and he noticed how they disturbed his peace of mind. And so, by paying careful attention to himself in this way, he cultivated the capacity to notice how he himself and the world were not separate. They were intimately united. And that is how he understood the truth of his life. His story is a lesson in how we cannot understand the truth without observing ourselves, or without observing nature, without observing the world we are in. And in particular, we need to pay attention to our own kibitzing. We need to pay attention to how the mind aimlessly chatters on and on. And there's no need for us to analyze why we become attached to kibitzing. No need to find the reason why we feel content or even obsessed with staying apart. Our practice is about giving up the mind that kibitz. But rather pays attention to the smallest thing. The smallest thing about ourself and the smallest thing of the world around us. And to learn to pay attention to whatever arises. This is our practice. So, to go for a hike means we have a chance to see the sunlight reflected in the dust, to see a swarm of insects, or to see the wings of the butterfly. And to notice also how these reflections last. How long these reflections last. And when we see such things of the natural world without distraction, we see much more. It is like seeing the life of the drops of the waterfall the Yosemite waterfall that Suzuki Roshi talked about in his talk. But we can only have this vision if we are free of kibitzing. Whatever we do, we are always on a journey. We are always on a hike or a camping trip. Whatever we do, we are always in nature, whether we are home or at work or in the forest. And wherever we are, we should be there. Mindfully and quietly, not aimlessly. If we become wound up with kibitzing, we will be lost and we will not be involved. Our practice enables us to know where we are, where we are going, to experience our surroundings clearly, without distraction. And to appreciate the silence. Does anyone have a question? Carolina.
Vitsing is what the Buddha refers to as ajñāna, and suggesting that we invite speech.
It's part of our understanding of what is right speech. Well, are there any announcements tonight? I don't know. I haven't seen an announcement yet. We have to wait and see. We have 2 days yet.
another announcement.
Okay.
I'd like to invite everyone to a special Wednesday night on December 2nd, where we honor Les. It's going to be his 50th anniversary of starting practice. And we're planning really nice, elegant evening, a little more formal than we normally have. And we will have guests and we'll have representatives from all of our sister sagas will be either represented in person or we'll send a message.